But if you would, if you got your Bibles with me, Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read the first 12 verses. You know the story well. You've read it numerous times over. I'm going to zero in on verse number 10, but I feel the necessity of reading all of these 12 verses together. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph, he also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. He went to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in those swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. Verse number 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And then an angel of the Lord appears to them. And then the glory of the Lord shone around them. So the shepherds, obviously, they trembled. They had some fear going on within them. Then the angel says to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find this baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and will be lying there in a manger." No matter how many times I read that portion of scripture, I have to say to myself, what a moment it must have been when the angel appeared and the glory of the Lord showed up to a bunch of blue-collar shepherds taking the night shift out there in that field, right? The glory of the Lord just shines in a powerful way, and they get this message. This was a pretty incredible message that they were to receive. And just for the next few moments, I just want to focus on the elements of that message, and it's pretty simple, and obviously you see it there with me. The very first words in that message was, "Fear not." Fear not. Now, obviously, we understand why the angel had to say this, because those old blue-collar workers, those shepherds out there, they're thinking to themselves, what is getting ready to take place? And if the glory of the Lord shown up in such a miraculous way, I'd say a lot of us would take a few steps back as well. Now, the term here, the phrase, "fear not," it is a constant declaration that we see surrounding the birth of Jesus. When Zechariah, when it was made known to him that he would have a son and his son would be John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ, you know, there was some of that trembling fear inside of him, and it was told to him, "Don't be afraid, fear not." The same words were used for Mary, for Joseph, as well as what we see here with the shepherds. When I look at this, what it tells me is that when God moves in supernatural ways, there are sometimes, or many times, there may be a hesitation on our part to kind of back up. Because I can probably relate with those shepherds. I don't know exactly what was going on in their minds. I just know that the scripture says that they were trembling with fear. And so they had to be encouraged right off the bat. Hey, fear not. Don't be afraid. It's all going to be okay. But sometimes I think we're the same when God's getting ready to do something big, or he's up to something, or he wants to move in our lives. He's moving in a supernatural way. Perhaps even in a setting like this morning, when there is no doubt that God is here, that his presence is powerful, his presence is rich, and that he is ministering to lives. Maybe some of you didn't respond because you're thinking, man, I'm not sure about this. For some of us, it may be a fearful feeling of being unworthy. Because I'm sure the shepherds probably thought to themselves, whoa, wait a minute, you have shown up at the wrong field. Your Google map is off. It's probably what they were thinking. I mean, we just blue collars, you know, we smell like sheep, you know, why are you here? And so they probably had this feeling, we are not worthy to receive whatever's getting ready to happen, because obviously they recognize this is the angel of the Lord, the glory of the Lord has shown up. And so they're probably saying to themselves, man, we're just not worthy to receive such a moment. And I'm going to tell you, maybe it doesn't look just like that, but I think sometimes we back up and we say, I'm just not sure I'm worthy enough for God to do something in my life. Can I tell you, every single person in here is worthy enough to have Jesus do something pretty incredible and supernatural in your life. I believe that. Maybe it's just the uncertainty, because uncertainty causes us to step back and have hesitation. Just not knowing what God is about to do, just not knowing what he wants to do in and through your life. You know that you need something and God's really wanting to do it, but you're like, I just don't know what that's going to look like. And it could be that you're afraid that you're going to fail, or afraid that you're going to miss God, or afraid that you're just going to do something in your own and not do what he wants you to do. Can I tell you, Do not be afraid. Do not fear. When God wants to do something in your life, just say, okay, God, just like we sang earlier, more of you and less of me. Let God do it. I love what happens here because right out the gate, God calms those he was moving along by encouraging them along the way. When I hear that phrase, fear not, here's what I think about. I hear it saying, do not be afraid of what you see. Do not be afraid of what you hear. Do not be afraid of the moving of God, his glory, his might, and his majesty. Do not be afraid of what God is up to. And do not be afraid of what God wants to do in and through your life. Because if God wants to do it, it's the best plan possible, right? If God wants to move in my life, why would I hesitate? Because I don't want anything in this world to lead me other than God's power and his Holy Spirit. Because if God is leading us, man, it's going to be the best thing. God is up to something that's going to change the world. So he shows up to these shepherds. He's letting them know, hey, this is pretty significant. This is pretty enormous what we're about to tell you. Things are about to change. There's an old covenant that's going to pass. A new covenant is going to be ushered in. There is a Savior coming. His name is Jesus. He is the Messiah. You're going to be able to have a personal relationship with him. Because so, the Holy Spirit's going to be deposited in your life. You're going to be able to call upon the Lord at any time, not in need of a priest because he is the high priest. You're not going to need a sacrifice because he is the perfect sacrifice. You're not going to have someone do your praying for you. You can pray anytime at any moment. The world is about to change because Jesus is now with us. He is with us. So he's letting these shepherds know, yes, it's all going to change, but I'm telling you guys because I want you to be the first ones to know that what he's doing, you're very much involved. It includes you. And I love that thought. Now, as we move forward into it, we see the second important element of this announcement, and that is the good news of great joy. Who doesn't like to receive good news, right? Not good news that just brings a smile to your face, but good news that hits you right here in the center and it just kind of brings some joy inside of you. I like that kind of news, right? This past week, just all the different news and things that were coming in, I was on the phone with Tommy Gertner on Wednesday. We were talking about some things and he said, Pastor, do you want to hear some good news? And Tommy, I don't know if you're out here somewhere in here in the service. I'm sure you are somewhere. You may not be here today. But Tommy, he said, you want to hear some good news, Pastor? I said, absolutely, I want to hear some good news. And of course, he begins to share what God is doing in his life and what God was doing in his family. I just wanted to shout right there. You know, we're sitting in the parking lot. We're Christmas shopping. I said, Michelle, you know, thank God for some good news. Amen. Because we all like to receive good news because in the world we live in today, we desperately need to have that good news in our life. Because it's 24/7 news cycle. If you wanted to, you could rot the inner being of your soul if you stayed in front of the TV or social media and just hear all the junk that's constantly going on. I highly encourage you not to do that. But there's always something negative. There's something happening. There's the tragic news that we receive. There's all these different things that are always trying to pull us away and pull us down. Can I tell you, there's nothing like getting some good news. Well, this news was a little bit different than any other news we'd ever received because this news was going to be something that put a joy inside of your heart that will be everlasting. It'll be a news that gives you hope. It'll give you news that, well, yes, it'll cause you to smile, but it's going to give you a peace within inside of your life, a joy that you cannot contain, a joy that you want to share with others because there is nothing like the good news of Jesus Christ, the good news in what he wants to do in our lives, the good news that brings salvation, that brings redemption, that brings restoration, that brings forgiveness, that brings healing in the wake of tragedy. That brings a peace to the inner being of our soul, that truly brings that lasting hope. Can I tell you this? The good news of Jesus will always override any attempt of Satan trying to steal, kill, and destroy your life. So when he's coming at you, you come back at him with the good news of Jesus Christ. When he's coming at you saying, oh, look what I did and look what has happened and look how dark it is, look how hopeless it is, look at the oppression and the cloud that is surrounding, you come back with the good news of Jesus Christ. Because no matter what circumstance happens on this planet, in this world, in our lives, Jesus always has the final say for those who put their trust in him. So yes, like my brother David, he fought the battle, and every day he remained strong. He put his trust in the Lord. How could a man do that that's fighting cancer so difficultly? How could he look in such a manner to Jesus? Because he knew Jesus had the final word. Because church, there's got to be something better than this old world. As much as I love the world and God's beauty of His creation and my family and my friends and all the goodness that we see every single day, the reason why we come and gather to worship Him, because we believe that this is not the end of the story, that heaven is the end of the story, that eternity is the end of the story. When you just take everything down, take away the lights, take away the buildings, take away the programs, take away everything we've done for all the years of our lives, it comes down to one simple thing. We're all looking for a hope, and that hope is eternity with Jesus Christ. So when our quick 80 years are up, or our quick 90 years, or our 40 years, or our 20 years, or whatever it may be, when it's up, eternity that you and I can't even begin to fathom, that's what it all comes down to. Because when we think about the joy that God brings, the peace that He brings, the way that we feel when we know He's moving in our lives, that's eternal, and it will never fade away. But everything around us here, it will. So I don't always understand everything that happens here, and I'm certainly not going to be the one that tries to give you answers. But I will tell you this, I'll always point you to the author and the perfecter of our faith. Amen. There's good news to be told, but then there's that last part of that statement. Good news that brings great joy for all the people. After the birth of Jesus, again, I want you to consider who He was talking to. The first public announcement of the birth of Jesus was given to a group of unknown shepherds. Not priests, not scribes, not wealthy people of influence, or even political leaders. It was given to none of those, but to shepherds, again, who were working the fields at night. Just blue-collar guys out doing their thing. Now, for a moment, consider the shepherd. If we look in history, we will understand shepherds were often looked at in a lowly manner. Their work in the fields and with the flock, to the Jewish people, to many of them, it made them ceremonially unclean. Their work also kept them from being able to come and worship at the temple and to be made clean by the priests, which I find it ironic because probably a lot of their flock were being the ones that were sold to be sacrificed for people to be freed, you know, for the priests to forgive them of their sins. But they were looked down really in a lowly manner. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what is the significance of the first announcement of Jesus' birth being given to them, to a group of blue-collar workers working the night shift? What was the significance of that? Well, I believe it reveals the grace of God towards humanity. Because the good news of Jesus, it's for everyone. So He didn't come to the high and the lofty and the exalted. He went to the lowly. He went to these guys, just hardworking guys out in the field. And that's who He showed up to give the first announcement, to say to them that the Messiah is here, Christ the Lord. And I want you guys to know, the first ones to know, that you're very much a part of what He wants to do in and through your lives. That's pretty amazing, because when we look at it in such a manner, it shows us how important that every single individual is. Everyone should have the opportunity to hear how much God loves them and what He desires to do in and through your life. You see, the good news must be told for people to hear, to believe, to accept, and to begin their own personal journey with Christ. And you know who tells that good news? You and I tell that good news. You and I have to share this Christmas season, that Christmas story, with somebody that needs to hear the love of Jesus. Someone needs to see the generosity of Jesus. Someone needs to hear the love of Jesus. Someone needs to hear that testimony of Jesus. Someone needs to know that that joy you have inside of you is not just because of your Christmas lights and not just because of your Christmas trees throughout your house and not because of your favorite Christmas movies and Buddy the Elf and all those different things. They need to see your joy because of what Jesus is doing inside of your life. Amen? They need that. They need that extra hug, that extra time, that extra conversation. They need that to be shown to them, and they need to hear the story how Jesus loves them. The whole reason He came was to be with us, to show us that He's one of us and that He loves us and He desires to have a relationship with us.